We travel now to the glaciers of Greenland for the latest installment of Climate Connections, our year-long series about climate change with National Geographic. Greenland is a place of particular interest for climate scientists.
Each summer, massive lakes form on the surface of the Greenland ice sheet. Most of them end up springing a leak and draining down to bedrock and ultimately out to sea. It's part of a troublesome trend. Greenland is slowly melting as the earth warms.
NPR's Richard Harris joined scientists who are working in Greenland this summer. He followed them on an adventure to measure the flow of water from one typical lake.
It's not obvious when you look at the modest campsite of tents out on the Greenland ice sheet, but it takes a lot of money and a lot of planning to mount a field expedition to this remote part of the world. Every hour counts.
This is just the GPS and the sonar.
Over the past few days, four scientists have tended their instruments here and surveyed the nearby lake. It's time to move on to their next camp, but bad news. The helicopter is grounded by rainy weather. A free day, but how to make the most of it? More work sounds like fun, so they dream up a whole new experiment. Why not measure how fast the water is gushing out of the nearby glacial lake? That'll help them understand how these features contribute to rising sea level.
Ice screws.
Sarah Doss is a glaciologist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. She and a colleague, Mark Bain, rummage through the boxes of equipment they've brought along, looking for various spare parts to cobble together. They need to build something that will measure the speed of rushing water.
I'm pretty sure there are screws too.
Okay. There's always cable ties.
Duct tape.
Mark Bain finds just the thing. It's a gizmo that they had brought along to attach to the bottom of their inflatable boat to measure its speed through the water. Turns out it was too hard to launch the boat, but at least they can steal this bit of gear for their new experiment.
There's a man with a drill.
And the screws.
And the screws.
Bain attaches the water speed indicator to a spare 2x4. Next, he attaches rope to the board so they can pull the instrument out into the middle of the rushing stream. Once the makeshift device is done, they load it into a sled, along with everything else they think they'll need once they get down to the stream. It's an hour's hike from camp.
Anything else?
I'm set.
Okay, off we go towards the lake. This is not your usual Sunday outing. First, we cross a huge field of ice hillocks, each one a foot or two tall. It's like walking over slippery, oversized egg cartons. But Sarah Doss is clearly in her element.
In a way, it's a very simple life when you're here. It's not easy, but everything's here that you need, and nothing's here that you don't need. There aren't a lot of distractions. There's no phone calls. There's no email. There's not a lot of drama that's unrelated to the work that you're doing.
Her collaborator in this experiment is Ian Jockin from the University of Washington. This hands-on stuff is relatively new to him. He spent most of his career poring over satellite images of ice sheets from the toasty comfort of his office. From those pictures, he's learned a lot about how the Greenland ice sheet is slowly flowing to the coast and then off into the sea.
It really helps to be able to interpret the spaceborne data by actually being on the ice and seeing all these processes in action. The melt streams. And that's really important to try and get the big picture. That's sort of really what we're after, is how these lakes and the water flow on the ice sheet are affecting the ice flow.
Do you like being down here?
Oh, I love it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Ian peels off and takes a long detour on the ice, so he will end up on the other side of the stream that's flowing out of the lake. Their experiment will only work if they can string a rope across the torrent in order to position their measuring device in midstream. So someone has to be on the other bank.
Here we are. We've arrived at the edge of the river, and I'd say it's cut a much bigger channel than when we were here a couple days ago. It's enormous. Looks much bigger, doesn't it?
It does. Although I don't know whether it's just the new perspective of having to throw a rope across it.
The stream is now about 75 feet wide, and Mark can't possibly throw a rope that far, so plan B. The best hope now would be to tie some fishing line to a ball and throw the ball across the stream. They don't have a ball, but true to the cliche, they do have duct tape. So Mark sets to work making a duct tape ball.
So you played baseball when you were growing up, Mark?
Yeah.
What position?
Second base, mostly. Which isn't the position you want me playing to be throwing long distances. You needed the outfielders.
but hey.
Take what you can get out here.
Ian makes it to the other side of the stream with graduate student Maya Bhatia. They wave and plop down on chunks of ice. Their body language loudly declares, "This is crazy. Let's just give up." But Mark is undaunted. He steps to the edge of the stream, ball in hand.
Ready?
Oh. All right, it made it across the river, but it rolled in. I don't want to go running after it because they're on an icy slope and they don't want to lose their footing because that would be bad.
Anything in this river would be taking a one-way trip downstream to a 3,000-foot deep hole, which leads to the bedrock below. So diving catches are definitely out of the question. Mark winds up to try again.
Here we go. Oh, it's close enough. Ah!
They got it!
And Ian grabbed it with the ice axe. Yay!
Once the fishing line is across the stream, they're in business. They tie a rope to the line, and Ian pulls that across. Now they have a rope bridge of sorts across the stream, and they can use that to guide their impromptu instrument out into the raging water.
The plan is you guys just reel in.
Ian pulls the instrument out into the rapids. The 2x4 bobs furiously, but the instrument screwed to the back does record the water speed.
We got it.
And Sarah hauls it in to the shore. It's pretty exciting, a little impromptu experiment.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Time 7:01 out of the water.
Dinner time, or at least time to head back to camp. A quick calculation reveals that water is draining out of this lake at the rate of 34 million gallons an hour. Los Angeles doesn't even use that much water in any given hour. It's true this lake only drains for a few weeks a year, but the volume of water it produces is simply amazing. And it's not a bad result for a rainy, no-helicopter day out on the Greenland ice. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Richard Harris gives a visual tour of Greenland's melting ice sheet at npr.org/climateconnections. There's also coverage of thawing landscapes by National Geographic.